I'm going to be talking about social networks and the archival context from a somewhat different point of view from some other presentations. For one thing, what I'm going to be talking about isn't extremely personal. It was personal to very many people, because what I'm dealing with is the metadata surrounding archival collections recorded in archives such as the Library of Congress and other archival collections. We've started calling it Facebook for ... usually as Facebook for dead people or Facebook for historical figures. This whole project is funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities for a couple of years. The lead PI is Dan Pitti at the Institute for Advanced Technology and Humanities at University of Virginia. There's also Adrian Taylor and Brian Tingle at the California Digital Library, and then myself and student Krishna Janakiraman here at Berkeley. What we are dealing with, or what we have gotten, is 1,159 finding aids. You heard briefly a bit about EAD finding aids in the talk earlier with Dr. Washington. That is actually a fairly small number, but they're really rich. We also have 15,400 finding aids from the Online Archive of California, and 5,500 from the Northwest Digital Archive, and another 8,000 from Virginia Heritage. We're still in the process of crunching on these. But what we're doing is actually extracting the names of people that occur in these and turning it into a new version of authority files. Authority records exist for libraries. The Library of Congress, the Getty Vocabulary Program, and the Virtual International Authority File are all files that try to keep all the variants of a particular author's name so that you can connect that author to all of their works. We're trying to do the same thing for the people mentioned in archives. And in the process, we are rating all of these nice authority records that the libraries have created over time. If you're not familiar with EAD, this is a little bit of what it looks like. And these things tend to be full of personal names. So we have, this is for the collection of materials on the Warren family of Tabley Cheshire. This is not one of ours from the Library of Congress. This actually comes from the Archives Hub in the UK. And the personal name of the person primarily involved in this particular collection. You then also find short biographical histories in many, if not most, of the archival collections as well. We mine those. We also mine things like correspondent lists, as well as other people mentioned in the metadata linkages, the other personal names referenced from this collection. So all of that is being pulled out and merged together from EAD and being converted to EAC. EAC is Encoded Archival Context. It's another XML-based standard that is for describing the creators of records, whether they are corporate bodies, persons, or families. And it was developed as part of an international effort with hopes of being able to link, as you can read. So this is a standard for isolating, pulling out the description of people separately from the description of the papers and so on collected by those people, or created by those people. So the idea is authority control, trying to identify the creator entities. Talking about creator entities in a church feels odd, but don't want lightning to strike or something. From the archival point of view, the creator is the person who created the materials in the archive. But they also will reference entities or some of the things in their archive will be materials sent to them, for example, by correspondence. So what we're doing is recording the name or names that are used by and for various people, and using rules to determine what headings and entries we're going to adopt. So the reason to do this, to pull this all together, is this broad notion of vocabulary control, where what we want to do is make sure that regardless of which form of a name you happen to use, you'll be able to find all the materials for that person, hopefully. The problem is always the proliferation of different forms of names, different names for the same person, different people with the same name. As some examples, one of my favorite, maybe a little hard to see, this is some people who tried to do kind of authority work within this collection of books in print. But you find things like Goethe, Johann W. von, see Goethe, Johann Wolfgang von, and you go to that one, it tells you to go over here to von Goethe, and then you look at this one, it tells you to go back to Goethe, and pretty soon you're completely lost, and you discover actually that there are entries for books for the guy, different books, under each one of those entries. So our notion is to pull all the materials that mention a person or that were created by a person so that you have a single name entry to get you to all of those materials. Another one, this is where the reverse happens. Instead of being in separate places, you put things that really aren't the same person into the same basket. Some may not know the famous California explorer adventurer John Muir also wrote a book on how to maintain your Volkswagen. So some of that, happens, and it happens consistently throughout all of the places where the same name occurs for different people. So what we're doing is extracting the EAC-CPF records from existing EAD encoded records by pulling them out of those areas that you saw in the EAD record and then putting them into the EAC form. And then because that generates separate name records for every different archive and every mention of a name in an archive, we then go through a process of matching and merging all of these records and pulling them together and combining the information. So we're creating a prototype historical resource and access system, and that's going to give you links back to the archival collections themselves. Some of those collections have been completely digitized, so you can go into them and actually find letters and so on. Others haven't, they're just the finding aid. But if you're a scholar, it gets you to where you want to be. We're also going to be making all the software available, making the resource available. And what I thought I would show is the results, what we have so far, of taking 43,700 EAC-CPF records derived from the Library of Congress, 91,800 records derived from the OAC, and 22,609 from the Northwest Digital Archive, resulting in 123,000 unique names after merging. And another view of those numbers, we have 93,033 names of people, 30,000 names of institutions and 1,669 family names mentioned. So as an example, I was digging around the other day and I ran across this one for George Patton, the general from World War II. This shows you a little bit of what our prototype viewer allows you to do. So all of the alternative form, because it was kind of filling up pages, the alternative forms of the names are on a pop-up that lets you go into that. It then includes the biographical history. Not all biographical histories are neatly broken down like this. Some of them are just a text description. And on this side, you have which archival collections did the material that went into this record come from. So we have Patton as the creator of his papers at the Manuscript Division of the Library of Congress and at the George S. Patton speech transcripts at the Hoover Institution. He's also referenced, in other words, letters written to and or from him in five other archives. 53 people are associated with him. And we've taken all of that association and correspondence data and turned it into networks. So we've got here Patton in the middle and all of the institutions and people that he was associated with from the archival collections that we have available, we're able to put out this way. This is still under development right now. You can't pan and zoom and pop around from person to person. But also, he was a member of a family. And so in the description of the family here, you find that, yes, this is the same George Patton, who was also known as Old Blood and Guts. I'm not sure we have that as one of his alternate names. But again, the family is associated with other families through marriage and so on. It's associated with particular people. And also, finally, institutions that are associated with particular persons and may also be mentioned in lots of different archival collections. So this is kind of what we're doing. This is another view where we did sort of a topical thing of physicists and the non-physicists they're associated with. So blue are physicists, orange are non-physicists. This one is one that you can zoom around a bit in, but it has the difficult problem that if you're not hovering your mouse over it, the names don't show up. So it's easy to get lost. As I said, a lot of this work is still in process. You can do your own demo by going to socialarchive.iath.virginia.edu, XTF search, and that will get you to the main actually, if you just go to socialarchive.iathvirginia.edu, that's the main SNAC website, and from there you can navigate your way to the latest version of the browser. I'm not sure this is the latest one. So, final thoughts. It's not personal, at least not to me, but someday many of the personal archives created by people today are going to become public or semi-public collections as well. And it would be beneficial for the future if people started thinking about things like authority control and worrying about getting the names that you want to be remembered by right, so that you still have some influence on it while you're still alive to put in a good word for yourself. So again, more information at Social Archive. Thank you.